Time for our weekly catch-up with Matt Stringer, the Chief Executive of RRIB, to look at some of the latest stories coming from the charity. Matt, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, as ever. Good to see you.
Now, we've got some political stuff to talk about today and some conference news as well. Should we start with Visionary?
Indeed, yeah, the Visionary Conference. So Visionary is the umbrella body, as I'm sure many listeners know, for a lot of smaller societies across the UK who do some great work in their local communities or towns. There's about 130 smaller organisations sit under the sort of Visionary umbrella, which is run by Fiona Sanford. And they have their annual conference at the end of September, and ourselves and Guide Dogs and TPT and Blind Vets and some of the other organisations work with the smaller societies through the year on a variety of things. And over the course of the conference, there's a number of workshops with RNIB people taking part in some on panels and leading one or two. So we were involved in work on the pathway. We're involved in workshops on things like See Sport Differently and Sport for All. We're doing some stuff around rehabilitation. I then chaired a sort of plenary session, which allowed us to talk to the work of the VI sector. And I was joined on the panel by members from Thomas Pocklington Trust, Visionary, Guide Dogs, Retina UK, and Hilary Ingleton from the RNIB joined me as well. And we presented and took questions from the plenary group. I think a really successful conference. There's a dinner and an awards ceremony in the evening. Like all these things, it's the conversations in the corridors and getting a coffee and having dinner, which some respects are even greater value than the formal program, because you're picking up with people, you're talking about things, you're finding out ideas, you're making connections for future contact, and they all work very well. And I think having an awards ceremony, again, you know, it recognises achievement, it's a bit of fun, it's a bit of energy. I was privileged to be asked to present a prize because we're one of the event sponsors. So good sort of platform to thank everybody as well. So, yeah, both formal and informal, a very successful 24 hours, Adam.
Now, we spoke last week, Matt, you were talking ahead of a gathering at the Grimaldi Building in London around accessible voting. You were talking about politicians, electoral commission and people coming to try these different accessible ways to cast their vote. How did that go?
No, it went really well. I'm sure many of your listeners who follow us on social media would have seen some of the output from that. So we had a sort of two-tier or two-stage day. So in the morning, we had all the sort of key movers and shakers in this space convened for a couple of hours to hear sort of insight from us and crucially from visually impaired voters about their experience, and also a chance to engage with some of the sort of options we've got to enhance the process to really try and bring new technology, new equipment, new processes, training, you know, into this space. And we had the Chief Executive Electoral Commission there. We had senior civil servants from the Department of Levelling Up. We had representation from the devolved nations. And then most critically in the afternoon, we'd invited in about 40 visually impaired members of the public who came in, and almost a bit of speed dating. They all engaged with about half a dozen potential voting technologies, from things that were pretty low tech through to things that were more high tech, and gave us their feedback. And so we've got some very rich data out of that afternoon, which will be the really key output from Monday, which we can use then to go back round with those opinion formers who were there in the morning and really keep pushing this agenda with tangible output. And I think it shows the convening power of the RNIB that we could get all those people in a room. It shows all the benefit we've had from all the effort that's gone into sort of turned out reports over the last couple of years, where we've been able to comment on what really happens at elections when it comes to voting for blind and partially sighted people. If you think about it, you know, you go into the polling station and traditionally it's been a stubby pencil and a piece of paper and you put your cross in a box. Clearly a process which doesn't work for visually impaired people, because how can you read the polling document and how do you know where to put your cross? So, you know, guidance to help you do that can come from a number of ways. There's devices whereby you can put a sort of plastic cover across a ballot paper and you're able to fold the plastic back on the box that you know to be the one you want to write in. There's a technical version of that whereby you put a sort of electronic version of that on top of the ballot paper, and when you pull back the sort of tab, if you like, line by line, it's pre-programmed to know who the candidate is on that line, and it can tell you that audibly. There's use of technology that's a bit more like Be My Eyes technology to help you unlock what's on the ballot paper. And so, you know, I think we trialled about seven different ways in the afternoon, from, as I say, simple bits of plastic to things that had more of a technological audible element. And we'll see what people say. And as you say, not everyone is going to like the same thing. You know, cause some people will be happy audibly. Some people would be happy with low tech. Some people might be happy taking a relative or a friend into the polling booth and having guidance then and there. So, you know, it's not a one size fits all. But we do know from the turned out report that at least half people were not able to vote independently and in secret. And you know, there's, again, evidence that people don't actually go to vote just because the process is so relatively off-putting and difficult anyway. So we'll get some rich data out of the afternoon session, and it allows us to sort of go forwards. But as you say, it's possibly not a one-size-fits-all solution.
Be interesting to find out what the front runners are going to be. Let's finish off with politics as well. You know, we've been talking about accessible voting. We've got a general election on the horizon next year. It is also party of political conference season. We've just had the Lib Dem conference, and you've got the Conservatives and Labour Party still to go.
Indeed, we have. And parties in the devolved nations are on as well. I think SNP conference is Aberdeen this year, isn't it? So we'll be there for that. Yeah, if you take the major sort of UK-wide parties, yeah, had the Lib Dems last week. We've got the Tories, and then the following weekend on Sunday, be up to Liverpool for the Labour Party conference. We need to be agitating and getting our point across to politicians generally, but in the run-in to a general election, which we all believe is probably next autumn. We did do a good job last week at the Lib Dem conference, and I think the ace in the hole was the quality of our stand, where we built a sort of a little stand that had some domestic elements, a kitchen and some technology, so we could showcase to politicians and others kitchen equipment. We could get them to try and do something on technology. We could get them to try and make a cup of tea and use electronic measuring devices, all the rest of it. And actually it went down incredibly well, because it was a way to hook people in. It was a way to engage them on something practical. And we got them to try and check the accessibility of their own websites and things. And again, you know, causing a bit of embarrassment when they realised they weren't. Yeah, but all these things get the point across. You know, you can then generalise from the particular about, well, actually, look, if you're finding it a problem to make a cup of tea, or you're finding it a problem to get online and check accessibility, you can understand how society doesn't make it easy for blind and partially sighted people all the time. And then you're getting them into a conversation about what we can do to make it better. We had Ed Davey, you know, the Lib Dem leader, on the stand for a long time last week, to the extent his aides were trying to drag him off, and he stayed longer than he was meant to because he got engaged, and that's great. But it's just one important sort of set of weekends for us to enhance our political influence, which we'll be really pushing for through this year to really try and inform insight and inform policy that goes into the manifestos for the general election.
No doubt we'll hear from you, Matt, after the party season finishes. But talking of finishing, that's it for us at the moment. We are out of time, but if you'd like more information on RNIB and its products and services, do have a look at the website. It's rnib.org.uk. You can also call the helpline on 0303 123 9999 or ask your Amazon Echo device to call RNIB's helpline. Matt, we'll catch up again next week, but thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
My pleasure. Good to talk about, I think, some meaningful items, and look forward to coming back and reporting on Conservative Party conference to you next week. Thank you.